Welcome to the Store Builders Podcast, the place where we talk to industry experts and successful store owners about what it takes to build a thriving e-commerce business. Every episode, we deliver the raw, unfiltered recommendations that will catapult your store to new heights. Ready to get serious about expanding your e-commerce empire? Well, then let's get to work.
I'm your host, Ryan Cowden, and this week we're joined once again by Chris Lemma. In this episode of the Store Builders Podcast, Chris and I discuss how you can help your customers integrate a store into an already existing website. Not all online stores begin as stores. Blogs, social media accounts, and brands don't spring from the ground fully formed with goods to sell at the moment of inception. When your customers reach the point where they are ready to sell products, it will be your job to integrate purchasing options into an already existing platform. Sometimes the transition is easy. A simple buy button or a shopping cart integration is all it takes. When the new store isn't so simple, it might be wise to host the store externally or build something new from scratch. Part of your job as the store builder is to guide the growth of the website to the option that best serves your client. On this episode, you'll hear when and why your customers will want to add a store to their website. This happens when a customer has a product to sell. Chris shares his advice to listen to the shoppers at this early stage to hear what they're looking to do on your website. Next, we'll discuss how to add simple purchase options to your website. You can easily connect plugins from external providers like Shopify, PayPal, BigCommerce, and Stripe all to your website. This may not be the best option, however, because you can't control the user experience on those third-party platforms, and customers may lose interest if they have to leave your website and figure out how to purchase your products on another site. Then, we'll go over what to consider when building a new store from scratch. Your primary focus should be on defining the user experience before looking for solutions. Keep in mind that you want to design a unified user experience for all the products you sell. After that, we'll cover some common mistakes to avoid when integrating a new store. These include making site navigation confusing and adding things to your website that will slow it down. Finally, we'll cover some best practices to incorporate throughout the process. Know the best tools that are out there and know when to use them. If you are interested in the best ways to build purchasing options into your already existing platforms, then this is one episode you won't want to miss. There's a lot of actionable advice in this episode, so grab something to write with because you're going to want to take notes. As always, I'll be back on the other side to wrap up any loose ends. So without any further ado, here's my conversation with Chris Lemma. All right, Chris, welcome back to the podcast. It's good to see you, man.
It's great to see you. How you doing, Ryan?
I'm doing great. So we're talking about adding a store to your existing website today. So a website you already have in place, but you want to add, you know, some purchasing options to it. Let's just start with the big picture. Why would a customer want to add a store to an already existing website?
The simple answer is, you know, they have something to sell. So right. Whether it's you'll see people who have a regular website and suddenly they have an event and they want to sell tickets to the event, right? Mm-hmm. Or you'll have someone who predominantly runs a blog, but now they've written one book, right? And so with one book, they're like, how do I promote this book on my website? Even if they're not doing the distribution, maybe the book is selling on Amazon, but they're like, I want to click a buy button here, or I want, or I may have a publisher who wants to, me to ship it from here. And so you get these little situations where they're not ready to go full store, and take over their whole site. They just want to add something and you go, okay. Invariably though, right? What we see is that, you see a lot of people selling, few items, right? Hat, t-shirt, something that goes with their brand. And that's when you start realizing just about everybody could have a store on their site, right? So then you go, okay, well, we get back to this core question, right? How do you do it, right? And as a store builder, you're going to hear from your customers more often than not what they want to do. I just want to put a PayPal button on my website, right? And the store builder is the one who has to then figure out, how do we talk about this intelligently? How are we the expert so that we can help our customers potentially not make a silly mistake.
Okay. So there's a lot of easy ways to do it. And you kind of mentioned, adding a PayPal button. What would it look like if you went through a service like Shopify or something like that?
adding just a simple buy button or something like that.
Yep. So there are a lot of ways that you can do anything from a simple buy button, Shopify, PayPal, even BigCommerce, right? Any hosted platform, mm-hmm. You can get there. Often you can get their buy buttons on your site. And it can feel like a really, really simple idea and easy to do. And there's nothing wrong with that approach if the goal is to satisfy a customer to say, look, your button is there, or your, you know, the ability to click it is there. Like, you got no problem. So if you're a store builder and your customer's like, I want to spend $100 with you and I want you to put a PayPal button or a Shopify button on my page, right? Okay. Like, you can do that, right? But most of the time, the goal isn't put the button on the page. Most of the time, the goal is conversion, that someone pays, right? And that's where you can, depending on which studies you're reading, depending on what experiences you have, that's where you can start realizing, this may or may not be the best way to deliver this value.
Okay.
Right? Yeah. And that's the hard part, is because people think, oh, the button's there, right? So the first phone call you get is, I want to add a store to my site. You have the conversation. You realize what they're saying is, I just want to sell a couple things. I just want some buttons. And they even tell you, like, I have a friend of mine who's just said, I can just do it this way, or I can do it. And you hear the word just, can you just do whatever? And then let's say you do it, right? So you put the button down, you put the whatever. Okay, great. Then you get the second phone call. People aren't buying, right? Mm-hmm. And that's when you go, okay, well, this is a bigger problem, because you initially asked me, can you put a button on my page? You didn't ask me, can you help me with conversion? Mm-hmm. And the moment, if you'd asked me about conversion, I would have told you, sometimes leaving your site lowers conversion, right? When they click a button and they go somewhere else, it can be a jarring experience. Other times, you don't control what happens on the platform. So a couple of years ago, I had a client who had their entire website using WordPress, mm-hmm. and they had their entire store on BigCommerce, and they put the buttons and the store link and everything on the site so they can move people.
Yeah.
But because BigCommerce was a hosted platform that they didn't run, the lag time between when you click shop on the blog and the time you arrived at the store could be anything from less than 1 second to more than 20 seconds. And the customer didn't control that. Right.
Yeah.
So we started pulling data, and we started pulling data that said, how often are people clicking the link, the shop, the buy from your site? And then at what rate are people landing over there and browsing? Not even buying, just browsing.
Yeah. Right.
And he was losing 65% of the traffic. They were leaving his site and never getting to the other end. Right. And you go, that's horrid.
Yeah.
Right. Because again, the goal isn't I have a buy button. The goal is I'm selling. Right. So whenever you go somewhere else, the other crazy thing, I had another client who had a great store. Right.
Yeah.
But the store was like, you know, shop.mybrand.com. So different domain, subdomain that they used, and they had their, you know, website at, you know, mydomain.com. So you're on their website and you click shop and it just takes you to mystore.mydomain, right?
Yeah.
The problem was the navigation on the one site, right? Said home, and it took you to the home of the website, and then it had other things including shop.
Yeah.
But the navigation on their hosted store, right? Mm-hmm. Said home, and it took you back to the home of the store.
Oh.
And so, right, this is the nature of when you spin up a site on a hosted platform, is the navigation may be only focused on that platform and not the broader context of the fact that you have a store that's part of another site. And so people were clicking And then they'd get over there and they're like, I want to go back. And they click home and they'd be back at the store home, but not the, and you just get all this, you know, maneuvering and movement between pages, but no one's trying to shop. They're just, so page views go way up, but there's no conversion. And you're like, what's going on? And you're like, your customers are confused and lost. And,
right,
you know, this isn't helpful, right?
Okay.
So there's a whole bunch of different challenges. Stripe, I think, now offers an ability to put a Stripe button, right, on a page too, right? Mm-hmm. So the one of the first questions that a store builder has to ask is, are you selling one or two items? And if you're selling just a few items, should we just add a pay button versus a hosted store somewhere else? Meaning a PayPal button, a Stripe button, something that just collects money, but isn't the recreation of a store. Do you need that? Or do you need an actual store? And how do you add a store to your site that will drive conversion, right? That will,
right,
that will not create the kind of challenge that would happen if you were moving to another site, right? And that's one of the first questions a store builder has to ask with a customer.
Okay.
To make sure that they're getting the problem defined correctly. Once you have the problem defined correctly, then you're like, okay, well, we can get it down. You know what I mean?
Right. Great. So let's say that your client chooses to actually build the store organically. What are the first steps you should take in terms of adding that store to that website?
Yeah. So the biggest thing, right, you have to do is talk through what is the user experience, right? And that's, you know, when I'm talking to store builders, a lot of times what happens is they start planning out the solution before they've even heard what the customer wants or is talking about. Because they're like, oh, I know this plugin, I can do this. And you're like, you're jumping into this. What you need to do is marinate in the problem space. So spend more time in the problem space going, okay, tell me what you're trying to do. Because the answer may be a Shopify store. The answer may be a BigCommerce store. The answer may be a WooCommerce store if your WordPress site is already, you know, if your site's already on WordPress. But you'll never know the nuances of what that customer wants when you jump to, oh yeah, we can get you a store, right?
Right.
A lot of times what you're selling, right, is going to dictate what kind of platform you're on. So for example, I have a client who has, he sells books, but those books are predominantly sold on other sites like Amazon.
Mm-hmm.
And then he sells online courses.
Yeah.
Those online courses are on his own site, right?
Yeah.
And you're paying, but what's really happening is you're protecting content, right?
Yeah.
And if you said, oh, I'm going to go build an online course with content protection on Shopify, you'd be like, well, that's silly. That doesn't make sense, right? But if he, so you have to ask the questions about, what is it you're trying to sell and what is the customer experience going to be? One of the mistakes that, you know, often happens in a conversation between store builders and the store owners is that, they'll bring three solutions to the table. So let's say you're selling courses and you go, oh, great. I can add that to your site without ever doing anything with your website. I can go use Thinkific. It's a hosted SaaS. And I'll just put a link that says courses on your page and it'll take you to the homepage over there. We'll put it in the subdomain and we'll just go. And you go, okay. But then they come back and they go, I want to sell hats. And they go, oh, I'll just add a WooCommerce store to your site just to sell the physical goods. And you're just doing this game where you're like, I use a course, online SaaS courseware for one thing. I use a WooCommerce store for something shippable that's on my site. I use something else. And you forget that the customer logs into a My Account and doesn't see a cohesive, unified My Account because their Thinkific credentials and their payments and receipts of Thinkific are in one place and their ability to buy a hat or t-shirt is in another place. And then what happens when you want to do a discount that says, if you've bought one of these courses, you can get, you know, if you bought two courses, you get 50% off the hat. And if you bought three courses, you get 75% off the hat. But if you only bought one course, you get 25% off. How do you do that promotion when the data sets are in different places.
Right.
So the big challenge, right, is the conversation you have to have as a store builder with that site owner saying,
right,
not just what do you want to do right now, but where do you see yourself going in the next 6 months or the next year? And it's amazing what you'll hear. Well, I also want to do courses. Well, I also want to do, and you need to look at the big broad picture and the customer experience before you can start figuring out, okay, what's the right solution here?
Okay. When you're building this store from scratch, I wonder if you could kind of just define, where is the store? Is it part of this website, or are you building an external store that you're linking to? Could we maybe clear that up a little bit?
So the option, I mean, all of the options exist. So okay. I've worked with stores where you go, okay, you like I said, you want to do just courseware. You have no interest in doing anything else. So in that scenario, we can go to something like a Thinkific. We can build everything out over there. We can make it at courses dot, you know, your domain name. And on your website, your main website, you click a little link for courses, which takes people over there. And you don't have anything about an account on your main site. And you only have an account on courses dot domain.
Right.
And everything is over there. And so then you'd say the store is not on your main site. And your job as a store builder is to just make the experience cohesive, look similar, et cetera, so that people feel like they didn't jump from one brand to another and suddenly get scared.
Yeah.
That's adding the course, and that's adding the store off of the site.
Okay.
I've worked with other customers where we go, okay, you have a WordPress website. You want to sell physical goods. You want to sell online courses. You want to sell protected content. You want these things, right? Digital downloads. So let's build out a WooCommerce or an Easy Digital Downloads. Let's bring one of these plugins in and add it to your site. And now you're going to have the store sitting on the same server as your site. Like, it'll be all in one.
Okay.
Right. So you have the options for both.
Okay. When you're integrating the store into a website that's already existing, what are some of the confusions or problems that can arise while you're doing that?
So navigation is one of the toughest, right? To make sure that you're thinking through how people are going to move through this, through your site, right? So you don't necessarily want to overtake your main navigation with all the store options, right? You don't want to put every category up there. You don't want to put the My Account, shop or order finder, right? Status, order status. You may just want to put shop. All the other things you want to put in other places. So navigation, figuring out how we're going to do this, but also what happens with your sidebar navigation when you're on a post or a blog post, you know, blog page or an article. Do you want all your categories there? Probably not. So then you want to dynamically present them or not, depending on what kind of pages you're on. So navigation is one of those things where it's not a difficult thing to accomplish. It's just work to figure out what the right answer is, right? So that's one part of it, right? Obviously, performance is a big part of success, right? You want people to be able to check out quickly. You want people to be able to navigate quickly, get to the pages, load quickly. And that can be a problem if you're adding the store to your existing site and your existing site's themes or the features and plugins that are on there are slowing the site down already. And now you have a store and that slowness is going to have a problem, right? So performance is always going to, it's one of the places where a store builder becomes really valuable to the store owner, right? Is they go, hey, my site's loading in 8 seconds. That doesn't feel good. And you're like, let's get it down below 2.
Yeah.
Enter the store builder, right? Say, oh, but you know what? I'm talking to a store builder right now, right? Who's working with a store owner and they're going, hey, I'm going to need your help to talk to the store owner because the theme they chose is just really heavy and slow, but they seem to like it. And the crazy part is when you look at the site, you almost don't see a theme. Like, so it's not a really not visually heavy, but code-wise it's heavy. And then you go, yeah, we're going to have a conversation because we're going to have to make some changes.
Okay, cool. On the flip side of that, what do you notice the best store builders do, or what do good store builders do? Are you aiming for elegance or aiming for simplicity? What's kind of the what should your value be as you're doing this?
So I think the best store builders out there just know the right tools. Mm-hmm. They just know, they know when to say yes to Shopify, when to say yes to BigCommerce, when to say yes to WooCommerce, when to say yes to Etsy, when to say yes to Ecwid, when to say yes. Like, you just keep going. You're like, there are 472 different e-commerce option platforms available. Yeah. 472. Yeah, maybe you don't need to know all 472 of them, but man, you probably ought to know the top 10 and know when to recommend each. Because if you know, hey, this is the right call for this situation, you now are providing that store owner with that expertise and that path forward. And invariably what ends up happening is that ends up being the fastest way to a big win with that customer. I talked to a store owner yesterday and he said, I have a store builder who's telling me I should go with Shopify. And I said, that's interesting. Don't you use your own payment gateway, your own payment processor? It just so happens, right, that the guy I'm talking to owns a cigar store. I'm a big cigar fan. So I happen to know this about how the cigar world works. And he goes, yeah, I have to have my own payment processor. Like, I can't use one of the main, like, I'm not going to sign up at authorize.net. And they're going to be like, sure, go sell tobacco. So he has his own payment gateway. I go, okay, so do you know you're going to pay not only payment gateway fees, you're also going to pay Shopify fees for that? He goes, no, the store builder didn't tell me anything about that. So we pull up the webpage and scroll to the bottom and it says, oh, if you use your own gateway, then you have these fees.
Yeah.
I don't care one way or another, right? But if you're a store owner and the store builder hasn't told you that, the store builder in that moment is just saying, well, it'd be easier for me to use this tool. And that's the wrong call. You want to know, look, I can build it with any tool, right? But what I want to know is what's the right platform, the right tool for the customer, and what are the reasons? This is one of the, where you go, this guy does millions and millions of dollars worth of sales. Mm-hmm. And if he has to pay for his payment gateway and a Stripe set of percentages, sorry, Shopify's set of percentages, that you're taking margin out of his pocket, right? That's not a good idea. So knowing the right tools, knowing the right platforms, and knowing when to go with which one is probably the most important thing for a store builder to be able to do.
Okay. So it sounds like rather than coming in and making strong recommendations, it's more about facilitating a conversation and trying to get them to clarify for you what they're looking for.
Yeah. And that's why I call this marinating in the problem space, right? Hmm. Because someone says, I need a store. And if you forget to ask, well, are you also going to sell this physically?
Hmm.
Like in your retail plate? And they go, yeah. You go, oh, so do I need to integrate with a point of sale? Yeah.
Yeah.
Are you going to manage inventory? Yeah. Does the inventory have to interact with the point of sale and the online store?
Yeah.
Yeah. But you have one inventory for all of it. So how we got to make sure that you don't double sell the same product online and offline. Right. Okay. That's a very different problem set than,
yeah,
I just want to add this to my website. Right.
Right.
So there's a million ways to get it wrong. The only way to get it right is to marinate in that problem space, sit and have the conversation, have it two times, three times, dig into it, peel it apart. When store builders do that and they truly understand all the nuances, you hear all these people all the time, like, store guy built something for me, I pay him every month and I'm not getting any of the value, right? The store owner is like, I'm done with this, right? Yeah. And you're like, that's because they're not listening.
Right. Right. Okay. Chris, that was great. Thank you so much.
Awesome. You take care, Ryan.
You too.
All right, folks, there you have it. That wraps up my conversation with Chris Lemma. He shared a ton of valuable insights and advice today on how to help your customers add a store to an already existing website. We also shared some tools and resources, which will all be linked up in the show notes. I hope you enjoyed our conversation. Please consider subscribing, sharing with a friend, or leaving us a review in your favorite podcast directory. Until next time, best of luck in all that you do, and we'll look forward to seeing you on the next episode of the Store Builders Podcast.